I was only saying just before church started, I was saying we need to pray in more boys, and then two walked in. We just need to pray that they come and live here. Sorry, that's my prayer, not yours. Father, we thank you that you are ultimately in control. So are we all well? I hope so. Maybe just a bit. Last week, we ministered on the subject of the power of deception. And this week, we're going to look at something very similar, but it's, if you want to say, the power of discernment. And it's a subject that I think we ought to grapple with, because there are times, like for me, I'm an individual, I think the best of most people. I think the best of most people. And because of a pastoral heart of wanting the best for people, sometimes I make the wrong decisions because I'm not asking God to speak into the situation. I'm just seeing with my natural eyes. I just want to make everything better most of the time. If someone's hurt, I want them to get well. If someone's been mistreated, I want to be the one that comes round them and just put my arm around them and say everything will be okay. But as we know that saying, not everything that glitters is gold. So we are told time and time again to be on our guard, because the enemy prowls around. And so often we may think that the enemy is something that is ugly and untouchable, but so often it's a thing of beauty. And it can be sickly sweet. And if we're not careful, we can be deceived. So we need discernment. And so I want to look at that whole subject of being discerning people. In Matthew 24, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." And this is Christ himself saying to his disciples, be careful that... Do I keep getting... That's all right. Keep getting news flashes coming through. So fortunately, they're out of sight. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And I just did a quick search, as you do, about how many false messiahs have there been throughout history. And there's false messiah after false messiah in most centuries. There's somebody, an individual that claimed that I am the one, I am he. So we need to be on our guard, not just about false messiahs, but false gospels. So I want to encourage us. I don't tell stories very often, like I said last week, and I did give you a couple of illustrations. And I want to do the same this week about how easy it is for us to be deceived. Now, it's not me having a go at any other religion or organization. It's just from a biblical point of view, okay? If we look at scripture, what it says about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think the Anglican church don't make enough of her, and the Catholic church makes too much of her. And I was a young Christian, and I used to do weed control with a knapsack spraying chemicals. And I got a contract to go around Walsingham. And Walsingham, if you don't know Walsingham, it's a Catholic shrine, if you like. It's a place that the pilgrims go, and they have tent meetings, and they've got gift shops, and lots of things going on to do with the Catholic faith. And I knew very little about the Catholic faith. I knew very little about Jesus himself, but I'd read my Bible. And as I walked around, I finished, I had lunch, and then I went round the gift shop. And something struck me. I walked in and I'm going, my goodness, you can get a small Mary, a medium Mary, a big Mary, a wide Mary, a thin Mary. There was Marys everywhere. And this thought came to mind, and I want you to weigh it up. In scripture, it talks about the goddess Artemis. And the goddess Artemis was a female god who people would worship other than Yahweh, other than the creator God. So what would happen is they would put their trust in this artificial man-made god. And as I walked into this particular area, I just felt in my heart that the church had replaced Artemis with Mary. And there's the deception. Not that Mary isn't somebody that has an important role in scripture, because she did. But we cannot get to God through her. There's a deception, isn't it? Now, most of you will know that. Maybe one or two of you may not know that, but now you do. Read the Bible. The only way to get to God is through Christ, not through Mary. And we don't like to have them conversations because it'll upset some people. But you know what? The Bible says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if I'm preaching a lie, then you can come to me next week and tell me. But if I'm preaching the truth, then as you recognize the truth, you'll be set free. Now, this message isn't just for us because I know most of you and I know that you know your scripture. But we do have this on recordings, and hopefully at some point someone will listen to it and just be encouraged that when they pray, they don't have to go to a priest because the Bible says Jesus is their high priest. They don't need to come to a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. They can go directly to God. And the Bible says that when the curtain that separated humanity from the Lord was torn, it gave all of us access. And that's the truth. So it's important, I believe, to discern, because we may come across people, churches, ministries, podcasts, whatever, that will encourage you to come follow me and I will make you. But Jesus says, come follow me, Yahweh, and I will make you. You can't follow two masters. You know, salt water and fresh water can't flow from the same stream. It'll be polluted, won't it? You take what is fresh, you take what is salty, and they're separate, but once they come together, it's polluted. The Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole batch. So there only may be a little bit of deception in our lives, but that small amount of deception will grow and grow and grow. And I, like I said, I'm a person that likes to think the best of everybody, and so I get myself into trouble that way. Now, Susan, on the other hand, we had a picture years ago of a boat and the sails. Now, I'm the boat, obviously. Susan's the sails, and we're praying into that, and we know what it means, that there's a stability with me, there's a solidness with me, but Susan will pick up the wind of the Spirit, and there's times where I'll just go, that'll be fine, and Susan will go, no, I think we need to pray about this. And there are some people in this room that you have that gift of discernment. All of us need to be discerning, but some people have a gift of discernment, and they know there's something witnessed within their spirit. So I want to encourage us today, through this message, just to be watchful, mindful, so that you're not led astray. Even the message I'm ministering on you today, you should always weigh it up against God's word. Did God really say? You know, right back to the garden, you know, the first deception, did God really say? Yes, he did. When you got the spies going in to look out over the promised land, did God really say? Yes, he did. He said, I'm giving you this land of milk and honey, of prosperity. Go and look over it. So we can easily be deceived by groups of people. So there can be 10 of you and 2 of you think, no, I really believe the Lord is witnessing this. And the other 8 will go, no, I think we need to do that. Well, what we need to do is say, God, what do you say? What does your word say? Because on most of the things that I'm talking about, it's the spiritual things. Someone comes to you and they say, you know, I fell in love with this person who's a Satanist. Is it okay? No, it's not. Don't be deceived. I'm using extremes here, but I want us to be encouraged as we look through God's word and as we're encouraged by his word. It says here in Matthew 24:24, and do you know what? Every answer we need for every question is found in scripture if we choose to look. If we choose to look. It says this, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Just think about this portion of scripture. Because I don't know about you, but if I was in a room and there was signs and wonders and miracles, I'd think, wow, this is God. But what we're being told here is, we said, be careful, because there's false teachers, there's false prophets, there's false works of miracles. So we can't just see with our eyes, we need to discern with our spirits. It's a gift. The Spirit of truth lives in us. God will witness to us if we choose to stop. You know what? This is a one for men. And I don't know if you're like me, but if I see something I want, I want it. I can look at a car. Years ago, I used to work on cars, panel beater, paint spray. I loved old vintage cars. And I saw this one car, and it was a rust bucket. It had fallen to bits, but I wanted it. And I paid good money for it, and it fell to bits. I didn't discern, did I? I just wanted what my eyes lusted after. And God wants us to be discerning. Not everything is bad. We don't have to look at everything and go, God, is this good, is this bad? But there are times we can invite people into our homes and we can share too much because we're not discerning. There's times where God will bring about people in our lives and we don't share enough. We need to be discerning. And we need to look at the false. We need to look at the signs and the wonders. Something I was reminded of recently, a tree is known by its fruit. You know, if I say that I care, then hopefully over the years you'll see that I care. Well, that means I'm a carer. If I say that I care and I don't care, then I'm a liar. Yes? Now, I'm using myself as an example so I don't pick on anybody else. But you know within your life, I had someone say to me many years ago, I'm here for the long haul. And then next week they left the church. Now, that's for them, isn't it? But if I'd have built upon that statement, then I would have been really let down, wouldn't I? But I needed to discern to say, let's journey, let's walk. Let's walk with this. So I want us to develop that gift of discernment. And if we struggle with it, like I do at times, that we pray that, Lord, you give me that gift, that I may discern, that I may be able to test the spirits and see the goodness in it. Because there will be miracles. If we look through scripture and we look at what happened when Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go, and the magicians of that time, the astrologers of that time, the wise men of that time would just counterfeit the miracle when Moses came and get Moses' snake out of their snake. God is superior. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, no one else can raise the dead but God himself. But there are counterfeits out there. There are counterfeit prophets, counterfeit teachers, counterfeit friends and associates. Those that will say, I care for you, and they care less. Those that will say, come follow me and I will make you fall into a pit. We spoke last week about the wide road and the narrow road. There are many people that will ask you to follow them into a wide, destructive relationship. God wants us to narrow it down so that he says, I am. I am. So be encouraged as we look through God's word together, as we're just challenged and encouraged at the same time, because this is a good word. Jesus says, I am the way. It answers all the questions. They're not my words, they're his words. It's not my way, it's Yahweh. Yes, it's God's way. So you'll meet people over the years, and you may have met people, and you may be one of them people, I don't know, where you go, there's many ways to God. Well, the Bible says, I am the way. This is Jesus talking. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if he's the way, the truth, and the life, then there can't be another way, can there? There's only one way, and it's through Christ. And I know many of you know this, but it's good to be reminded, because you'll meet good people that you really feel that you've got a connection with. And they'll say, well, I go to church, and I don't quite believe. I believe, you know, if you're a good person, you can go to heaven. There's many good people that are going to hell. The Bible says so. Because they're on the wrong way. They're on the wide way, not the narrow way. As Ken said the other week, get in the way, get on the way, start walking the right way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we recognize that he is the way, then we find out what the truth is, and then that's when life really comes. Jesus said, I come to bring you life, and life in all its fullness. But we can't have his fullness unless we're full of him. And the only way we can be full of him is to have him indwell within us. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we will hear it, won't we? We will see people who are in other situations and circumstances that they are more godly than some of the Christians we fellowship with in an outward appearance. Yet they're on the wrong way. We need to be those that are saying that there's only one way. So let's be discerning when we speak to people. We don't have to be condescending. We don't have to pull somebody down, but we can encourage them to say, listen, let's look at the word together. What does it say? It says, Jesus says, he is the only way. So let's pray together. Let's be encouraging, but be discerning, not deceived. All right, so far? Good. Just in case you said no, we'll carry on in John 17:17. Sanctify them, Jesus says, by the truth. Your word is truth. So when we look at God's word, you know, do not be deceived if anybody tells you it's not important to read God's word. You know, many ministries, they will read to you. So they can tell you anything. In fact, if I knew Hebrew, I could read to you in Hebrew and say amen, and you would have to trust that what I'm saying to you is true. Yet, Scripture says, you weigh it up for yourself. So you need to hear it in English, digest it in English, and understand it in English, put it into context and say, is this your word? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. God says himself, Jesus says, the word is truth. In the beginning was the word, yes? The word was God. The word was with God. The word became flesh. That's Jesus. The flesh became spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. There are people that will say to Christians, it doesn't mention the Trinity in the Bible. Well, you've never read the Bible. In the beginning was the word, God, Yahweh. The word became flesh. The flesh became spirit. There's the three in one. Just in one simple illustration. It speaks of the Trinitarian God right throughout the Bible. But don't be deceived. When people say there is no such thing, look at God's word for yourself. Sanctify them. Set them apart by the truth of your word. So let's be a people that will look into God's word, dig into God's word, and allow his word to sanctify us, to set us free. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says this, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray. For your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, this is Paul speaking here, or if you receive a different spirit, there's more than one spirit, of course there's more than one spirit. From the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. You know, those in this room that have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you received the spirit of adoption. But when the counterfeit spirit comes, they will whisper in your ear saying, nobody loves you. You don't really belong to God because of what you said and what you did. They've not read scripture that says, keep short accounts with me. If you repent, I forgive you. And that forgiveness is done. He remembers your sins no more. So the enemy, the spirit of deception will come along and whisper in your ear. But as we have that spirit of discernment, we can say, I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't resonate with me because I am a child of the living God. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Do you know what? I struggle at times, but I can do all things because Christ strengthens me. You see, there's a word in season for the season. There's a word in every season. Not just for today, but for tomorrow. So as we pray and say, Lord, give me a discerning spirit. Because there are things come in my life that just seem so perfect, so right. And yet they were so wrong. And I found out the hard way. Because I walked down that road and fell into that pit. But I want to encourage us to have discerning spirits. To say, Lord, let me weigh this up. Do you know what? If there's a decision you're going to make, sleep on it. Sleep on it. If there's a purchase you're going to purchase, sleep on it. Just say, do I need this? Is this for me, Lord? If there's a relationship that seems to be perfect, say, Lord, show me. Speak to me and believe that he will. Let's have a spirit of discernment. Let's say, Lord, give me that gift afresh. Breathe on me afresh that I may see you more clearly and hear you more clearly, Lord. There's a gospel out there that's a false gospel. Do you know what? If you take in that illustration that scripture gives us of a little bit of leaven leavens the whole batch, a little bit of oil will pollute all of the water. When you look at the salt, it becomes salty. Just imagine that you have a conversation about scripture. And there's 22 scriptures that are quoted and the 23rd is a lie. That's a deception, isn't it? You know, we all get things wrong. I mentioned Colossians and I mean Corinthians. We had a gentleman in church many years ago. He went on to pioneer his own ministry, the own church. God blessed him and encouraged him. And he got his crossing over and passing over confused. So when it talks about the Passover, it's when the angel of death passed over. God's people. When we talk about the crossing over, it's when they crossed through the Dead Sea, and he got the two mixed up. And if you was a Christian, you'd know exactly what he meant. And if you was a non-Christian, it would have gone straight over your head. But there were people around this man that just pulled him down. They pulled him down because they never had the spirit of discernment, because they couldn't see his heart. They couldn't see that this man was nervous. He was ministering for the first time and he got his words mixed up. We need a discerning heart, because there are people around us that will say something in love, but it comes across slightly awkward. Let's discern it. You know, you heard that saying, don't judge a book by its cover? One of my gifts is to be able to not judge a book by its cover. I'm able to look behind and see the pain and see why somebody does the things they do. You can have somebody who seems to be lost and woeful, and yet they're just crying out for help. And someone else who is bright and shiny, and we need to stay clear. So let's have a spirit of discernment. Let's be those that ask God to gift us afresh in this ministry. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. You see, nothing new, is there? It's in Scripture. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. They're not my words, they're his words. It is not surprising then that his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. This is the devil's servants. Their end will be what their intentions deserve. So if the enemy, if Satan himself masks around as an angel of light, deceiving, then his minions also do the same. If we receive a false gospel, we will preach a false gospel, yes? If we receive the truth, we will preach the truth. But not only will we preach the truth, we will live the truth. And what will happen is there'll be opportunities where you'll go, I so want to do that, but God says no. That's a discerning spirit. That's saying, I want to listen to you, Lord, rather than them. I want to submit to your word rather than a false word. So as we ask God for a discerning heart and a discerning spirit and a gift, he'll give it to us. In Psalm 119, verse 65, it says, do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and judgment. That's discernment. That's another word for discernment. Teach me knowledge and judgment, for I trust your command. When the Bible says, don't do this, it's for a reason. I remember listening to a radio show, and there's a guy on there, I can't think of his name, but he's really quite a funny minister. J. John was on there. And this presenter said, we're going to have a phone in, and we'll see what the public has to say about faith and everything else. And this lady rang in, and she said, the trouble is with your religion, it's full of don't do this and don't do that. And he goes, sorry, what do you mean? She said, you know what I mean, the Ten Commandments. Don't do this and don't do that. There's always telling us we can't do something. He says, oh, can't think of that one. In his voice, in his wry smile, even though it's radio. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh, I know the one you mean. It says, don't kill because you'll be executed. Don't commit adultery, you'll wreck your life, you'll ruin your marriage. Don't sin, because the wages of sin is death. Don't do this. I know the ones you mean. You see, the lady was deceived because she thought all church was rules and regulations. And it's not. It's grace. It's freedom to choose to do the right thing. But if you don't know what the right thing is, how are you going to choose? See, God says already through his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I need to choose you, Lord, and then you'll show me the way. You'll teach me the truth. And then I'll be set free. But you can't be set free any other way. There is no one can lay any foundation, the Bible says, other than the one that has already laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. So if you build on good works, it'll collapse. If you build on relationships that are ungodly, it will collapse. If you build on a false gospel, it will collapse. You have to build on the truth. And the truth is painful sometimes. Because the truth says to us as individuals, we're sinners and we need a saviour. And so many people only hear the first bit, you're sinners. They don't hear the second bit, and I'm a savior, Jesus says. Don't be deceived by the things around us. So if you know all of these things, just pray into them and say, God, just strengthen me in this area. Gift me afresh in this area. And if you struggle in this area, pray the same prayer. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. This is the Holy Spirit that we've invited into our lives. All things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You know, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you can't discern spiritual things rightly. You know, the Bible has just spoken about two spirits. So let's say we have the spirit of adoption, which means you are a son, a daughter of the living God. You've been redeemed, you've been ransomed, your sins have been forgiven. God wants good for you. That's the spirit of truth. That's the spirit of adoption. That's the spirit of revelation. And then you have the spirit of the enemy that says, who do you think you are, you stinking, rotten sinner? You're going to hell. You'll never achieve this. You're not good enough. People don't like you because you're too tall, too short, too wide, too skinny. That's the spirit of deception. But so many people I've met over my ministry are defined by their disabilities, not by the possibilities. Now, that's quite a good saying, is it? Do not be defined by your disabilities, but God's possibilities. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not through my strength. Discern what God is saying through the pages of his word. Discern what ministers are preaching. Discern what songs you're singing. There was a song as a youngster, I used to be that age once, and I used to go to discos. Now, my hair used to be like a Policia beacon. It used to grow out, not grow down. And I used to go to discos, and it was the era of Northern Soul, and if I say so myself, I had this flair for dance in that sense. And there was a song, I can't remember what the band was, but it would go something like this, Now Is The Time is the title. And I never knew the words. I never knew what the words meant. And I used to dance along to it and sing along to it. And then I became a Christian. And a friend of mine bought me a CD of Northern Soul because he knew that was my era. And I listened to the song. And it said something like this. Now is the time to set things right. No time for revolution. God is the only solution. Now is the time. And that was a secular song in the charts at the time when I was a 14-year-old. But I never saw or heard the words. And so often when we look at God's word, we don't see or hear. What's the difference between then and now? The Spirit of God. I became a Christian. Suddenly I saw with his eyes. I felt with his heart. And the very words I used to sing as a 14-year-old, as a 31-year-old, I was mesmerized by. The difference is the spirit of truth instead of the spirit of falsehood. Does that make sense? So it's important to discern. And the true, the opposite is true. There are many youngsters that are singing songs and parents are going, I'm turning that off because I don't want them to have sex on the beach. It's a good tune. Why are all the bad songs good tunes? I know there's a few people nodding along. It's just the reality, isn't it? We used to be in the car and Susan would sing Sand on the Beach because she didn't have time to turn the music off. Why? Because it's a different spirit. Not everything that glitters is gold. And it's so easy, isn't it? Because it's the right, wide road that leads to destruction and not the narrow road that leads to life. And we need to discern. So I want to encourage you to have a discerning heart, a discerning spirit. Allow God to give you that gift afresh. In 1 Kings 13:15, I started this last week and I didn't bring it to its conclusion, but I will do today. It says this, so the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. Now read this story. God is talking to a young prophet. He's he's spoken directly into his heart. It's a word from God. And he says, I want you to go to these people. I want you to do this and say this, but I don't want you to stop, eat or drink. Just do what you're called to do and come home. Yeah? That's God talking directly. So imagine that's you. God has said to you, right, I want you to do X, Y, Z, and you trust us, God's word. You've looked at it. You've discerned it. You say, no, this is what God has told me to do. So that's you. Imagine that. Then it goes further. It says, the man of God said, I cannot turn back or go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord. So he knew what God's word said. And that's the same as some of us. You must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. The old prophet answered. This is an older, maturer man or an older, maturer woman. Someone that you've looked up to. Somebody that you've seen in church. You know, maybe on the worship, maybe on the preaching router. Maybe just a man in the community, a woman in the community that is has this appearance of dignity. And you share with them what this prophet just shared with this older prophet. And then he turns around and he says this. The old prophet answered, I too am a prophet, as you are. And that strokes our ego, doesn't it? Because I'm a pastor just like you. And then you start to grow a bit and go, yeah, I am. I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that you may eat bread and drink water. Now, guess what happened? Read the story. The guy died. He died. He was disobedient. Why? Because his ego was stroked. And also because he was naive. And also because he was trusting. And there's nothing wrong with being trusting, is there? But this story tells us, it speaks to me volumes. Just because someone who's older and maturer says something, if it's opposite to what God has said, then you need to trust God, not them. If I say something that's contrary to what God's word said, you need to trust his word, not me. And so there'll be family members that want the best for you. And they'll say, yeah, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to. You know God has said, so you need to trust God. You need to discern the spirits. Now, let me put this in a way that's kinder. You've got God and the Spirit of God, and then those that don't belong to God, and they have a different spirit. You have good and you have bad. You have heaven and you have hell, yes? You know, we go heaven, we go hell. We understand right and left. We know there's an opposite. And we like to coat it sometimes in sugar to say, well, you know, you got those that... this is how I do it because I'm a coward. There's those that love the Lord and those that are on a journey. And at some point they'll catch up. Wishful thinking. Sometimes people just reject the word of God. And sometimes people are on a journey. But when we look at this portion of scripture here, it is a man who lied. He said, an angel told me. An angel told me. And it's a bit like today when people who are desperate to hear a word from the other side, and they'll go to a medium, they'll go to a charmist, a spiritist, and they'll hear a word, and it'll be a word in season, and it'll be a word that soothes their soul. But it's the evil spirit, not the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me, do not, you cannot raise a dead spirit in that way. So an angel spoke to him and said, it's okay. You come back, and he trusted him and he lost his life. So in that portion of scripture, what I'm saying is don't trust what you hear from someone else. If God has called you to do something, do what God's called you to do. And you know what? There's a man from a friend of mine. He's in America, and he rung me up and he said, Andrew, he called me pastor. He said, Pastor, would you help me? He said, I'm standing at a crossroads and I just don't know which way to go. I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to get right with him. I've been in the wilderness and I want to get back. Using my words, he was in the pig pen and he stepped out and he wanted to come back to the Father. And he said, but I don't want to get it wrong. Which way should I go? And I said to him, are you in a church? He said, yes. I said, are you giving into the Lord's economy with your time and your talent and your finances? He said, yes. I said, well, just choose one then. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you go right, he'll bless you. If you go left, he'll bless you. And if he wants you to go left and you've gone right, he'll show you. It's not for me to tell you. Do you see the difference? If you're doing what God has called you to do, you can only be blessed. He will cause you to pause and stop and return and say, Lord, I got that wrong. Let me go the other way. But he will bless you whether you turn right or left, unless he has specifically said to you, turn right. And then don't listen to me, turn right. So let's be discerning. I hope this makes sense as I bring this to my final scripture in Philippians 1, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Discernment. It's another word for discernment, to get the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. Many years ago when we was in a different building, and that's probably 18 years ago, I preached a word and it said the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of the word. And as I started to look through scripture and psalm and proverbs, there's so much wisdom and discernment within those psalms and proverbs. As you read them, you glean so much. So if you just separate the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the word, it will help you to discern God's grace in your life. Knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern. There you go, not my words. Different translations may put it slightly different. Discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ. So read it again. It says this, starting from 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. My prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me, is that I know more about Christ. Because as scripture says, if there's less of me, there's more of him. It's just how it works, isn't it? Pour in so that I can be poured out. So if there's more of you, Lord, there's less of me. If you have a glass of water and it's dirty in the bottom, as you pour clean water in the top, then the dirty water eventually comes out, doesn't it? And if there's more clean, then there's less dirt. So if there's more of his word, there's less of my thoughts. So they're his ways, not my ways. So scripture is encouraging. It's illuminating if we choose to read it and listen to it in its entirety and put it into context. But my message is about do not be deceived, be discerning. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. There's a fruit that comes from righteousness. Righteousness is having a right standing with God. You know that, don't you? So there's a right standing with God. There are things that we can do that will disappoint, but that won't separate us. You know, as Christians, if we've accepted the Lord and he's come into our hearts, and we've been born of his spirit and we walk according to his grace, then there's things we will do that will disappoint him, but they'll never separate us. Now, that's why we need to be discerning, because there's times when you've done something or may do something or think about something that you go, God can't forgive me for this. His word says he can. Don't be deceived. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You can't get righteousness through works. You can't earn your way into salvation. You have to receive it by grace. It's a gift. Spiritual empowerment, being endowed with other gifts, is a gift in itself. The charismata and the Pentecostal is simply words for gifts and abilities. There's nothing untoward in them. It's like, I believe in the spiritual attributes that God gives us. If you look through scripture, you'll see some will have this and some will have that and some will have something else. Not all will do this, not all will do that. But when it comes to his love, we've all been forgiven as we accept him. Do not be deceived. Be discerning. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. So that's a prayer we can pray, isn't it? So as a prayer, let's just think about this as a prayer. And this is my prayer. Lord, I pray that your love may abound more and more, and that I may receive knowledge and depth of the insight that you have for me, so that I may be able to discern between good and bad, right and wrong. To discern whether I turn right or left, I sit down or I stand up. To discern what I do with my gifts and abilities. To discern what is best so it may be pure and I may be blameless for the day of Christ. When you come back, Lord, you're coming back for me, a righteous, strong, courageous Christian. Fill me with the fruit of righteousness. I won't just speak about it, Lord, but I'll demonstrate it. And that righteousness comes through you, Jesus Christ, because I want to give you glory and praise. Amen? Amen. Let's worship. Let's have some fellowship afterwards. Let's be those that will be discerning, not deceived.